Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The drama over the still confidential EU audit allegedly finding the Czech Prime Minister in a conflict of interest continues as the Regional Development Minister insists it is not final. Meanwhile, the opposition gets its way as the audit will be discussed in Parliament. And in other news, a new survey shows that Czech students are getting better at school. The European Commission audit allegedly stating that Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is in a conflict of interest is not final, and there is no reason why the Czech Republic should not fight to the last breath, in the words of Regional Development Minister Klára Dostálová, who told this to journalists during a press conference on Tuesday. She said the Czech Republic will now use the two-month deadline set out by the European Commission to examine the document. Mrs. Dostálová also stressed that if the Czech officials do not agree with some of the audit's conclusions, these could be brought up at a special European Commission hearing. She also did not rule out the possibility of appealing to the Court of Justice of the European Union. According to a statement provided by a European Commission spokesperson for Czech Radio on Monday, the audit is final and the Czech Republic has 2 months to tell Brussels how it intends to implement the auditor's recommendations. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš's ANO party, which is currently the largest group in the lower house of Czech Parliament, has agreed to discuss the European Commission audit in the Chamber of Deputies on Thursday morning, the news site of Czech daily Deník N reported. The news follows the meeting of five opposition parties earlier in the day, which agreed to push for the audit to be discussed at a plenary session of the chamber. It is, as of yet, unclear whether this will be a private or public discussion, since the audit is confidential. The Pirate Party has asked the European Commission to reconsider the classified status of the audit, which has allegedly found Prime Minister Andrej Babiš to be in a conflict of interest over EU subsidies paid to the Agrofert holding he founded and placed in a trust fund 2 years ago. Deník N's news site reported this on Tuesday. The chairman of the Pirates, Ivan Bartoš, also said that Prague City Hall, which is currently led by a mayor from the Pirate Party, has commissioned a legal opinion on the consequences of publicising the European Commission audit. Meanwhile, the Social Democrats seem to be sitting on the fence thus far. They refuse to be drawn into the dispute, with Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček telling journalists that the audit is primarily the problem of the Prime Minister's ANO party. In other news, the Court of Justice of the European Union has dismissed the Czech Republic's case against the validity of an EU directive introducing stricter rules on the acquisition and possession of firearms, Czech television reported on Tuesday. The Czech government hoped to cancel the directive, which bans certain semi-automatic weapons and magazines, because it considered it too restrictive on gun owners. And this is perhaps good news. Students at Czech schools have improved in their reading, mathematics and science abilities, according to the Education Ministry and the Czech school inspection officials, who unveiled the latest programme for international school assessment rankings at a press conference on Tuesday. Out of the 79 countries and economic regions that took part in the rankings, the Czech Republic placed 25 in reading comprehension, 22nd in mathematics, and 21st in science. Altogether, Czech students improved their scores in all categories compared to the last measurement, which took place in 2015, also exceeding EU average scores. However, the results did not reach the scores achieved in the early 2000s and also showed a regional disparity of education quality. According to Chief School Inspector Tomáš Zatloukal, skill differences between pupils in Prague and the Ústí nad Labem region, for example, are equivalent to roughly 2 grades. The Programme for International Student Assessment, also known as PISA, is currently one of the largest and most respected education-level measurement rankings. Organised by the OECD, it takes place every 3 years. And for any of you Kundera readers, this might be good news too. One of the most famous and influential Czech writers, Milan Kundera, has received Czech citizenship 40 years after it was revoked following his emigration to France. The 90-year-old Mr. Kundera received the official paperwork in his Paris flat from Czech ambassador to Paris, Petr Drulák, on November 28th. And as far as the weather is concerned, Wednesday is expected to be sunny across the Czech Republic, but temperatures will remain cold, hovering around 3 degrees Celsius. My name is Tom McEncrow, and that is all the news for now.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, the embattled Prime Minister blasts the European Commission for interpreting Czech legislation on conflicts of interest. The writer Milan Kundera, long based in Paris, has had his Czech citizenship restored. And we speak to student researcher Veronika Czaslavova about why the problem of sex trafficking is still a taboo topic in this country. All those stories are coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is fighting for his political future. While a European Commission audit allegedly confirming his ongoing conflict of interest remains confidential, opposition parties are calling for his head. Even his coalition partner, the Social Democrats, have taken a cautious, non-committal stand as the situation develops. Daniela Lazarva has the details.
It was a moment that the embattled Czech Prime Minister must have awaited with dread. Although he was cleared on home ground when the Regional Council of Central Bohemia halted an infringement procedure against him earlier this year on the grounds of a complaint regarding a possible conflict of interest, the verdict from Brussels in the European Commission's preliminary audit was entirely different. And, according to sources close to the Commission, nothing significant has changed in the final document. According to two independent sources cited by the weekly Respekt, it says the Prime Minister still controls the multi-billion crown agrochemical empire he put into trust funds and thereby has a conflict of interest both under EU and Czech law. Dogged by journalists at the climate conference in Madrid, the Czech Prime Minister lashed out at the European Commission, saying it was no authority on Czech legislation.
Evropská komise nemá vykládat české zákony.
The European Commission has no business interpreting Czech legislation. The Czech conflict of interest law was tailored to me to get me out of politics, Lex Babiš, they called it, and I met its conditions fully. The European Commission can interpret European legislation, not our own. In the latter respect, they are not an authority. So if the audit reaches a conclusion that is incompatible with our interpretation of the law, we will reject it.
The leaders of the country's centre-right opposition parties are ringing alarm bells, saying that the country's position as a recipient of EU cohesion funds could be threatened due to the Prime Minister's unwillingness to either resolve the problem or leave office. The Pirate Party has called for a special meeting of the lower house, which would address the issue. Meanwhile, the Social Democrats, a junior partner in the ruling coalition, have taken a cautious approach, neither supporting the Prime Minister nor taking part in the opposition party meeting intended to map out a joint course of action. The entire political scene is now talking about a document that no one appears to have seen. Neither the Prime Minister nor members of the Cabinet or opposition, and surprisingly not even Regional Development Minister Klára Dostálová, whose ministry received the document on Friday. Mrs. Dostálová said she had intentionally not acquainted herself with the audit, since its confidential status applies to all but a number of ministry officials whose task it will be to respond to it. However, she made it clear that if the document reached the same conclusion as the preliminary audit, the Czech Republic would defend itself to the last breath, as she put it.
If we do not agree with any of the points made, then we would ask for a public hearing at the European Commission, where we would present our arguments face to face. And, should the need arise, the Czech Republic would defend its interests to the last breath, even if it means taking the matter to the European Court of Justice.
The ministry is now awaiting a Czech translation of the audit, after which it will have 2 months to say how it will implement the recommendations made by the Commission's auditors. Meanwhile, the pressure on the Prime Minister is growing, and the most frequent call on the Czech political scene is now for the contents of the audit to be made public.
Daniela Lazarova reporting. The celebrated writer Milan Kundera has received Czech citizenship 40 years after it was revoked by the communist regime. The author of The Unbearable Lightness of Being was stripped of his citizenship after going into exile in France, and his works were banned in his homeland until the 1980s. Ruth Frankova has the story.
Milan Kundera, who turned 90 this year, has been a French citizen since 1981, now 4 decades after the communist authorities stripped him of his Czechoslovak citizenship, it has once again been renewed. The exiled writer received the certificate of Czech citizenship at his Paris apartment last Thursday, in the presence of his wife Viera, from the hands of the Czech ambassador to France, Petr Drulák.
I had the honor to give the certificate of citizenship to Mr. Kundera, and for me it was very moving. For all of us, it was actually a very emotional moment, because after 40 years, Milan Kundera is the Czech citizen again. So for all of us, it was a great experience.
Milan Kundera's relationship to his home country has always been rather complicated, especially when he was accused in 2008 of collaborating with the communist-era secret police. Despite that, he has always maintained close ties with his homeland, says Mr. Drulák.
Yeah, as you know, the relationship has always been complicated. There have been many attacks against Milan Kundera coming from certain circles of the Czech society. However, he stayed by his convictions and identity, profound Czech, I would say. He's really someone who is very linked with our country. And he is very interested in what is going on in Czech Republic. But what is most important is his feeling of being Czech.
Mr. Drulák says the renewal of Czech citizenship for Milan Kundera is first and foremost a symbolic gesture. But although it has no practical implications, he says it means a lot to the writer who spent a large part of his life in exile.
We didn't talk too much about all these implications because, as you know, in his novels and in his essays, he always criticized kitsch, pomposity. We didn't go into that. It was a very civil, a very friendly meeting without actually any pathos.
In the early 1990s, Mr. Kundera began writing in French and has since refused to allow his books to be translated into Czech by anybody but him. The fact that he agreed to renew his Czech citizenship has raised hopes among his fans in the Czech Republic that he might break his vow and let his novels be translated into his native language.
I asked the same question. I asked it myself and I asked him as well. So I hope that he will reconsider his position and that the Czech readers will have the opportunity to discover the whole of the work of Milan Kundera in Czech. But that's my hope. I cannot give any guarantees for this.
That report by Ruth Frankova. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Public Radio, where it's now time for our main feature. In this edition of In Focus, Ruth Frankova is back, and she's looking into the problem of sex trafficking, which is still rather a taboo subject here.
According to official data, around 10 Czech women fall victim to sex trafficking each year, but the real number could actually be much higher. Veronika Čáslavová, a student of International Relations and Security and Strategic Studies at the Faculty of Social Studies at Masaryk University in Brno, who has been mapping the phenomenon for several years now, says it still remains largely unexplored. I met with Ms. Čáslavová to discuss the problem of sex trafficking in the Czech Republic, and I started by asking her what sparked her interest in the subject.
Actually, people don't talk about sex trafficking, they don't talk about human trafficking, and we don't talk about prostitution either. And I think that's the major problem, because the problem is here, and most of the women, they are exploited against their will. So I would say I felt need to talk about it since I realized that there is such a thing as sex trafficking. And for the first time when I read it, it was really unreal for me to realize those women, they are kidnapped or exploited or whatever. So I was shocked and I wanted to talk about it, to study it deeper and to understand it better.
So, as you said, the topic is still considered largely a taboo.
Yes.
So, how did you actually carry out your research? Where did you find the information?
My research is based on the data from our Ministry of Interior Affairs. They are cooperating with police, of course. Those are official numbers of the victims of not only sex trafficking, but trafficking in human beings. And mostly the numbers talk about the people who are in the program for help to those victims. So the research is based on that. I was mapping the phenomena since 1990s, but we have specific numbers from 2000 on. And then I was cooperating with Czech Caritas, or charity in the Czech Republic, and they let me read some of the stories of the actual victims of the sex trafficking.
Do the official data really reflect reality? I mean, to what extent do the official data differ from, let's say, the information from NGOs that are in contact with the victims?
That's another main problem in this area, because we have a lot of different numbers. None of them are complete, but the Czech ministry, it has its own official statistics. Each NGO has its own numbers, and they don't really share it with each other. So actually, to map the number of the actual victims is really hard nowadays. And another problem connected with that is that at this time in Czech Republic, prostitution doesn't have its own law. It's not legal and it's not illegal. So it is really difficult to distinguish between sex trafficking, willing prostitution, or prostitution against the will of the prostitute.
So based on the data that you have, how serious is the problem of sex trafficking and maybe human trafficking in general in the Czech Republic? How many women fall victim to sex traffickers, or let's say annually?
Annually, it would be around 10. And I know that's not a high number, but that's the number we know. And there could be much more. There could be much more Czech women in foreign states, and we could have much more women here in Czech Republic from the international community. And when I spoke to one policeman who focused on the problem of illegal prostitution, he mentioned that nowadays the major problem in Czech Republic could be the Vietnamese community, because they are really closed, they are really isolated. And we actually don't know what's going on in there, but we know there are suspicions that the sex trafficking is occurring in the Vietnamese community too.
And when we are talking about sex trafficking, is the Czech Republic more of an import or an export country?
Yeah, that's an open question. It used to be more export, but nowadays it's almost 50-50. Some of our Czech girls, they are exported to foreign countries, and it's not Germany as it used to be in the 90s when the boom of prostitution began. But nowadays it's mostly Great Britain and Ireland. And if we are talking about the victims who are imported to Czech Republic, it used to be, of course, Ukraine or Belarus, Serbia, Slovakia, all those states from the Eastern Bloc. But nowadays we can meet the victims more exotic, I would say, like from Philippines. But of course, mostly it's from the Eastern Europe.
Who are the women who fall victim to sex trafficking in the Czech Republic?
Usually the victim is a woman who is not in a secure social position. For example, a girl from the children's home, or women who are not employed, who lost their husbands, mothers who are alone with their children. But mostly they are young women who want better lives, and they believe that the men they have met and the men who have promised them better life will actually do it. So usually at the beginning they go willingly. They thought they will be doing, I don't know, babysitting or just work in a bar or at a restaurant. But then they will realize what is actually happening. The organized group, they took away their passports and they are not able to contact anyone after that.
So once they find themselves in such a situation, how hard is it for them to escape and to find some help?
The most usual way is when they go and seek a doctor, because the doctors, they are quite well educated to distinguish the signs of rape or any violence. And it is up to them how much they will trust the doctor and how much they will say, or it can be just luck and they can manage to escape and to seek some kind of NGO in that country. And in the case of the Czech charity, the main advantage is that it's not only in Czech Republic. They are connected around the world. So once a victim seeks help in a charity in Great Britain, for example, it is really easy to transfer her back to Czech Republic because the charities, they are communicating together and they are cooperating.
You mentioned specifically Great Britain and Ireland now being the common target countries of sex traffickers who are taking girls from the Czech Republic. Can you give us any specific example that you have come across while carrying out your research?
One example I could mention is one girl which was sold by her mother to Great Britain. It was either Pakistani or Afghan men, which is quite common, not only for Czech girls to be sold to them or to be forced to marriage with them, but in the whole sex trafficking problem in Great Britain, the Pakistani and Afghani community plays a big role. So this girl was sold by her mother because they needed money, and she managed to escape. And when she got back, her mother sold her for the second time. But I think that's all I can tell about this story.
What is the penalty for sex trafficking in the Czech Republic?
Sex trafficking is actually being prosecuted as trafficking in human beings, and it differs. Either you are alone in this crime, or if it concerns an organized group, then it's organized crime. The penalty is higher. I've met examples when the man got, I think, 8 years for trafficking his partner for almost 10 years.
Why don't we have a more effective legislation? Is it the fact that you've already mentioned that prostitution is neither considered legal nor illegal?
Yeah, that's the main problem. I think the biggest issue we are dealing with is that it's a taboo. It's a taboo as well as rape or any type of violence against women. Or it doesn't have to be only violence against women, because men are victims too. Not as often, but they are. So this type of violence, it's not popular in Czech Republic. Nobody actually wants to talk about it. I'm not saying that the government or political representatives, they are not talking about it. They are, but we don't have any results. And nowadays, the Czech Republic is dealing with the agreement of Istanbul to end the violence against women. We've already signed it, but for some reasons, the government doesn't want to ratify it. So it's not actually a topic that would be interesting or popular. So nobody wants to deal with it. We don't have the legislation for prostitution. So it's a really big issue, this vacuum.
What can be done to improve the situation without having the effective legislation? Can we still take some measures to help more effectively the victims of sex trafficking?
Well, we can talk about it. That's a really simple thing to do. It's also a really sensitive thing. But I think we must realize the problem is here. And the problem isn't just a matter of people without money, without education, but it can happen to anyone. So I think as most of the problems in the society, it starts with us. We need to realize it is here and to pay attention to those NGOs who are working with these victims, either of victims of sex trafficking or domestic violence. That's my opinion.
Student researcher Veronika Czaslavova was speaking to our own Ruth Frankova. And that edition of In Focus brings us to the end of our program. If you tuned in late, not to worry. The full broadcast is available on our webpage. That's at radio.cz. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and invite you to follow us there. If you have any questions or comments, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. Meanwhile, for me, Brian Kennedy, and the rest of the Radio Prague International team, thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.